Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 26th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're live on the radio 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. News the networks refuse to use on tap. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, on the Sabbath, we take a rest as the good Lord asks us to do. Other than that, we're all about the sacred cause of liberty, all about the principles of patriotism, all about our duty as Americans. Our founders said, you have a republic if you can keep it, and we mean business to keep it. I'll tell you that right now. We're battling hard in the culture wars. We're telling the tale of liberty. We're traveling. We're speaking. We're live on your radio around the world and more, all because we care about our children and our children's children. And we want to preserve the sacred cause of liberty for us and our posterity. Welcome to the broadcast. Indeed, last hour, we had the good Sheriff Richard Mack on the radio with us. Great hour. Richard Mack is the founder and president of the CSPOA. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. It's a partnership between citizens and local law enforcement, especially sheriffs. Mack encourages those who are not in law enforcement to join the CSPOA, to stand with our sheriffs. CSPOA.org to learn more about that. I would recommend becoming a lifetime member. I am one and highly recommend you become one as well. The doctrine of interposition. Interposition means to protect someone from the attacks of another. Simply don't hurt me, don't take my stuff. Nullification is a right to invalidate, refuse, recognize, or obey unconstitutional pretend legislation. Ladies and gentlemen, the checks and balances, both horizontal and vertical, are real. Yeah, the checks and balances, both horizontal and vertical, are real. Senator Rand Paul warned us about the federal government. They want to promote the United Nations Small Arms Treaty, and they're launching an all-out unconstitutional effort right now to ratify it in the U.S. Senate. Can the local county sheriff stop them? I submit to you the answer is a resounding yes via the principles of nullification. Interposition via nullification is the rightful remedy when governments reach beyond their constitutional powers. Yeah, very, very simple, clear stuff. Anyway, we talked about that in detail with a good sheriff last hour. Show will be up after this hour as soon as we can make that happen. So expect that coming up, available on demand at your fingertips, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. We need your donations as well. Click the donation link. We would be grateful. Now, let's talk about yesterday's show. I briefed us on part of it with Richard Mack, but he was only going to be with us for an hour. He's got some meetings to attend today and couldn't stay with us longer like he usually does. But I bring that up because yesterday, we talked a whole lot more than I highlighted. I just wanted to highlight the things that related to the good sheriff, and then we'll, you know, talk more. For example, the 17th Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, was designed to further emasculate the state legislative bodies. See, the states used to have a representative at the general level before the 17th Amendment, and the 17th Amendment made senators elected by popular vote, skipping the state legislative bodies, in my opinion, a serious, serious violation of the Constitution and manipulation of the checks and balances to the detriment of all 50 states or all 50 constitutional republics, right? We need to understand that. So I reject the 17th Amendment. I think it's bogus. We need to get rid of it ASAP. We also talked to our guest second hour yesterday, Dr. Scott Bradley. His lifelong mission and his collegiate series to match to preserve the nation. Available at freedomsrisingsun.com, along with well over 1,000 videos, his weekly webinars, video webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and a whole lot more education galore at freedomsrisingsun.com. We talked about prayer in school, the case that kicked God out of the schools. You gotta understand, ladies and gentlemen, on June 25th, that was yesterday, the anniversary at least, 1962, in Engle versus Vitale, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that based on the, quote, establishment clause in the First Amendment, that the government can't sponsor a prayer and can't require school children to say that prayer. The problem with that whole notion of the Supreme Court is it's true that the government can't mandate a prayer and mandate people say a prayer. But if we have a prayer in school because individuals want to pray, the government can't prohibit the free exercise thereof either. So to say, Johnny, we think a prayer in class would be nice. Would you like to say the prayer? It's not wrong. The Establishment Clause does not prohibit that. To interpret so is a lie. The Supreme Court got it wrong. Because what happens is they're prohibiting the free exercise thereof right now, aren't they? But if Johnny says, I don't want to pray, then you can't say you must. You got to say, okay, well, we'll have somebody else pray then, Johnny. Would like to have a prayer here. If Johnny doesn't want a prayer, Johnny doesn't have to close his eyes and fold his arms. He can just sit there. But the choice to pray or not to pray shouldn't be taken away or meddled with. Remember, the First Amendment says the government will not mandate or prohibit the free exercise. They are on the altar of saying government can't mandate, then they're denying the free exercise thereof. No one's mandated prayer. If a teacher says, I don't want to pray in my class, then they don't have to pray in that class. People like me will say that I don't want my kid in your class if you don't want to pray then. I don't want somebody who's godless to teach my children. I have that right too. You see how that free interplay should be the order of the day? Yeah, so the court got it wrong. The 59th anniversary was yesterday. What a sad tale to tell. That's when the downhill slide began. You know, we used to pray in school and the biggest offense was chewing gum or something like that. Maybe a fist fight. Now it's flat out murder in the schools and drugs and mayhem and sex and perversion. And 50 years later, you think we're doing better? Almost 60 years later, you think we're doing better? I think the proof in the pudding is clear. You turn your back on God and it will not go well for you individually, as a family, as a society. Any way you want to slice and dice that, it doesn't go well. Because God Almighty is the author of our liberty and obedience to his commandments affords us blessings and protection, healing and strength and safety and security. When we jettison God, we don't have any safety. We want to trade our liberty for safety, but we're going to get nowhere. We're going to lose both. Beware. 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 All right. We also talked about a law signed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, is a sad tale to tell. It will allow for forced vaccinations. DeSantis promised no forced vaccinations, but he lied. Now, I did talk to a good buddy of mine about this, Alex Newman, John Birch Society, who said it was already kind of the law, and Ron got kind of pushed into this, and, you know, he kind of defends Ron on this. And you know what? I do and I don't. To me, Ron should have stood up more about this and said, you know what? I just can't go along with this until it's taken out. So I understand the defense of DeSantis because he's doing a pretty good job on a lot of fronts. But I'm not a defend a guy or a person. I'm just not. When it's right, I defend it. When it's wrong, I reject it. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care if it was already law. I don't care if it Ron DeSantis should have said, you got to take this piece out or I'm not signing this legislation. And you could say, Sam, it's not worth the battle. Just let it go. It's already the law. Move on. Let's repeal it for sure. But let's not get stuck on things. You know what? I understand. But I also understand sometimes when we compromise, we do ourselves greater damage than when we don't. There's a balance, that's for sure. We also talked about with Dr. Scott Bradley yesterday in detail about Capitol Police cop was horrified of lack of help from his bosses. Senate report outlines security intelligence failures before the January 6th riot. It's a scathing report, but I don't think it'll have any bearing on what's going to happen in America. We're not going to get to the bottom of this thing. Pelosi's already made up her mind, and she's going to put together an investigative report. But imagine somebody who goes into an investigation saying, what happened on, you know, January 6th, 2021? What happened there? But then they start out with this. Here's Pelosi. Root causes of January 6th, Capitol riot, white supremacy, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia. Yeah. She says she's going to look into this thing now. Do you trust her? I don't. How can you start out by saying, well, we're going to investigate, but then we've already made up our mind that it was white supremacists, insurrectionists, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. How are you going to investigate that and get to the bottom of that kind of a bias going in? The one ordering the report has that kind of a bias going in. What do you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? You accept that? You comfortable with that? See, I'm not at all. And I don't care what side of the aisle you come from on this either. I'm not okay with going in and saying, hey, it was not Trump supporters. For sure, Trump supporters were not involved there. I'm a Trumpite. Hey, it was for sure Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and we're going to go in with that bias. I don't accept that bias either. Why don't you go in saying we don't know who done it exactly? We see smatterings of it could be BLM, it could be Antifa, it could be extreme Donald Trump supporters. In fact, it's probably a combination of provocateurs from all of the above. Remember, it was Donald Trump himself back in the Charlottesville day that said, you know what? There's bad guys and good guys on both sides of this thing. And poor Donald Trump got slaughtered by the media and his colleagues in government over this. But you know what? The more we research, the more we stand up for what's right, the more we realize he was right as rain on that one, wasn't he? Wow. Quick pause. I'm Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable live radio talk show. We are celebrating our 25th anniversary on the radio. Did you know that? This year. Time flies when you're having fun and when you're telling the truth. Standing with news the networks refuse to use, huh?
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of good going on in America. You just don't hear about it from your mainstream press. Sad to say, tale is true. I'll tell you that right now. I want to be a truth teller, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be a patriot. I want to be an American. Yeah, I don't believe I'm a sovereign citizen either, by the way, to all you sovereign citizens folks out there. As far as I understand, there's a news story that just got released yesterday. I guess these sovereign citizens whacked out people, I don't know, in Virginia or somewhere, according to Fox News. These sovereign citizen guys literally took over a vacant house, changed the locks, pretended it was theirs, suggested they could do whatever they wanted to, somehow tied up with this African Black Lives Matter agenda where they can do anything they want and behave anywhere they want. They need to be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. for their abuse. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, it's out of control, unacceptable. That's going on, right? And it's a sad tale to tell. But there are a lot of good people doing a lot of good things, folks, in America. And my wife sent me this great article, a great, press release, whatever you want to call it. Headline is called Raising Men Lawn Care Service. We're raisingmen.com. And there's a note on their website that says, putting the care back in lawn care. And it's a website dedicated to raising men. I don't know if this is politically acceptable in America, but I'm telling you right now, to me, it's absolutely fantastic. We're raisingmen.com. And they're working on a huge donation drive. And so I'm on their website. And they have a phone number. I'm going to call them, see if I can get these people on the radio to talk about it more with them. But they've got a 50-yard challenge. And the 50-yard challenge is to donate. It's really cool. But they say their goal is to build men. Making a difference one lawn at a time is what it says. And they say it's the union of a regular, an ordinary yard maintenance service, and the commitment to establish an inspiring program to keep our youth, girls and boys, on a positive path while learning and understanding their value in society. We provide free lawn care to our elderly, those who are disabled, single mothers, and our veterans who do not have the time, resources, money, or capability to take care of our yards. Raising Men Lawn Care Service is a 501c3 organization. Our mission, we want to unite the extraordinary community that is present in our local area. We are completely confident in the fact that we can provide a very inspirational program that focuses on channeling the energy that youths have in a positive way, as well as helping those who need it most. We know that sometimes youth want to help the community, and sometimes people need it, but it's hard to know who, why, and where, right? We focus on getting all the details of that sorted out while helping people around the area to care for and maintain their lawns. We mow free lawns for the elderly, the disabled, single moms, veterans, and it's our 50-yard challenge. When we have a shirt system as well. They say when your child signs up for the 50-yard challenge, they start out with a white shirt. We have it set up kind of similar to the karate system. For every 10 lawns cut, they get a new colored shirt. When they mow 10 lawns, they get an orange shirt. 20 lawns, a green shirt. 30 lawns, a blue shirt. Yeah. 40 lawns, you get a red shirt. 50 lawns, you get a black shirt. Yeah, you get a black belt at mowing lawns, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, they do mowing, raking leaves, snow shoveling. And they want donations. They talk about their current numbers, places in which people are taking part in their 50-yard challenge. It's cool. It's pretty neat. They have 15,000 plus kids that have already joined the program, ladies and gentlemen. Lawns mowed for free, 100,000 plus lawns. Yeah, they say, although we're called Raising Men, we're raising women, too. A few years ago, this author says, I realized we didn't have very many young ladies joining the program, but the few young ladies who joined were given a Raising Men T-shirt, and that didn't sit well. So we have Raising Women Lawn Care Service now as well. There's a huge increase in the in the number of women. As the saying goes, anything he can mow, she can mow better. Rodney Smith Jr. is the one that founded this organization, ladies and gentlemen. And there's kids' testimonies telling their parents about when they complete the 50-yard challenge. They say, anyway, there's a video of testimonies up here. I think it's cool, man. And, you know, there could be people that could be critical of it. Like always, everything, there's critics, right? But I'm telling you right now that I think people are really trying to make a difference. Raising hope. Each month we raise $1,000 through our program called Raising Hope. It helps a family in need, and we surprise them with a big check. We start with a $500 grocery shopping spree for families in need. Anyway, there's videos promoting that. Pretty neat. Raising Men Lawn Care Service. Raising Women Lawn Care Service. 501c3 company. Anyway, Megyn Kelly on the Today Show interviewed Rodney. Rodney Smith Jr. is the guy that started this thing. I think it's really fascinating. Let me tell you what I like most about it. By the way, he was on ABC Nightly News with David Muir as well. I'm just saying, pretty neat. What I like the most about this, folks, is that good people are anxiously engaged in a good cause. That's what I'm the most interested in and about, right? That's what I like. I like the idea that people are anxiously engaged in a good cause. They're just saying, hey, what can I do to make things better? Rather than just complaining, Rodney Smith Jr., founder. I like getting engaged. Raising Men Lawn Care Service. We're raisingmen.com. I kind of like that. And what can we do to make the biggest difference, folks? I mean, it's really a fair question for all of us, isn't it? What can we do to be anxiously engaged in a good cause? Right? What can we do to make the biggest difference? And Rodney Smith Jr. is trying. I mean, I love this idea that he's trying hard. He's making a difference. You know, these kinds of things, in my opinion, are impressive. And I think we need more of them, especially when a lot of the elderly, a lot of the disabled, they're on very limited incomes, single mothers struggling to support their children. What can we do to just make their lives a little better? What can we do to pay it forward? What can we do to, right? Rodney Smith Jr., founder, Raising Men Lawn Care Service. We're raisingmen.com, putting the care back in lawn care. I like that kind of a headline too, man. Anyway, I wanted to spend time on this because I think it's great. My wife finds good news stories and sends them to me, and bless her for it. It's really cool to be able to make a difference and highlight some of these things that people are doing. It's just impressive. The 50-yard challenge, donate today, is what I want to kind of highlight here, because the 50-yard challenge is a real way to inspire youth and get them some awards. Just imagine putting on your resume that, hey, I was involved in the 50-yard challenge, and you kind of can explain what it is, right? Yeah. All right, hang tight, quick pause. I got a whole lot more news the network refuses to use straight ahead. I am Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live radio talk show.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King. Workers are still sifting through the rubble after a high-rise building collapsed in Surfside, Florida, near Miami. 160 people are still unaccounted for. Family and friends wait nearby as crews search for survivors. Joshua Spiegel is waiting for word on his mother.
And we love her so much, and we're going to see her soon.
The building had recently begun its structural recertification process as the roof was being worked on. In 2015, a tenant sued the condo association, claiming there was water damage from cracks within the walls. Investigators are looking at the wreckage carefully to determine the cause of the tragedy. Four people are confirmed dead. A study last year found that the ground under the tower sank at a faster rate than the neighboring towns. Sinkholes are common in Florida. This is USA Radio News.
You know, if you feel like you're stuck with a healthcare plan that isn't affordable or you simply don't like it, right now is a great time to switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 a month when they join MediShare, and what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to the typical health insurance plan. That's double. So you get a massive network of providers to choose from. You get telehealth services, and MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. It's been around for more than 25 years, shared more than $4 billion in healthcare bills. Here's why now really is the time to make the switch, too. You can start saving each month, which is huge, but right now, they'll waive your joining fee. So you'll save another $170 right off the bat. But again, it's a limited time offer. You got to call now. And it only takes 2 minutes to find out how much you'd save by switching. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
With the U.S. troops drawing back from Afghanistan continuing, there are now concerns about protecting women and children who are often targeted by the Taliban. The president of Afghanistan, Ashraf Ghani, visited the U.S. and noted what progress has been made in his nation's attitudes.
What moves me in my daily work is meeting with young girls from schools. And when I ask them, how many of you want to become president? 80-90% of the hands go up.
He spoke with lawmakers about further U.S. help protecting against the Taliban and COVID-19. A 22-and-a-half-year prison sentence was announced in court in Minneapolis for former police officer Derek Chauvin, who was convicted of murdering George Floyd. Judge Peter Cahill explained to him why.
This is based on your abuse of a position of trust and authority, and also the particular cruelty shown to George Floyd.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. We're talking about this incredible effort, ladies and gentlemen. Good people doing good things all over the country. We love to highlight this on your radio. Rodney Smith Jr., founder of Raising Men and Raising Women Lawn Care Service, WeRaisingMen.com. Putting the care back in lawn care, Rodney is with me. Hi, Rodney.
How you doing?
Good. You're in Alabama. How did you start such a proposition like this?
Just interaction with God one day led me down this path. And then I came across an elderly man outside mowing his lawn. It looked like he was struggling, so I pulled over and helped him out. And that night, I just decided to start mowing free lawn for the elderly, disabled, single parents, and veterans in Huntsville, Alabama. And then it eventually turned into organization, and here we are today.
Over 15,000 children involved so far, and over 100,000 lawns mowed, right?
No, right now we have about 2,000-something kids that are taking part nationwide, and we have kids in 8 other different countries, and then, yeah. That's numbers right now. So we'll just continue growing. Right now, I think a post on Facebook is going viral. So a lot of kids are trying to sign up, and we'll be opening up submissions Monday. So, yeah.
Wow. And how old do you need to be? Are there ages for the program?
Yeah, so the program is for kids ages 7 to 17. We include mowing lawns, and we also include raking leaves, snow shoveling, and picking up trash. And it's 50 yards. The elderly, disabled, single parents, and veterans for free. Every 10 lawns, they get a new color shirt. When they sign up, they get a white shirt. So it's like the karate belt system. And once they mow 50 lawns, I personally deliver them a brand new lawnmower, weed eater, and blower for completing this 50-yard challenge. And currently, I'm in Ohio right now delivering to some kids that I'm recently finished. I was in Kentucky yesterday, so I'm visiting two more kids in Ohio, and I'll be driving back to Alabama. Then next week, I'll be visiting some kids in Oklahoma. So, staying busy.
All right. Do we have most states or all states represented yet?
Yeah, yeah. We have a lot of states represented. I mean, all states are represented. We have at least one kid in each state. Texas has the most kids, I think almost 200 kids or so, probably more, that are taking part. Utah has a good number. There are always kids in Utah signing up. That's always great to see.
All right. So this show is syndicated from the state of Utah. We have a studio in Florida as well. But we are interested in the Intermountain West, and we are interested in promoting a program like this because, in my mind, what you're blending here is service and hard work. That builds characters of kids like nobody's business.
Yeah, I mean, it does. And you see the growth in the kids, and a lot of kids, they want to go out there and mow their 50 lawns. And we're seeing a lot of kids are, after the 50-yard challenge, they're mowing for free. They're going and starting a business. And they're still mowing for people that need it for free, but they're also starting a business for themselves and mowing for those who want to pay them. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of great things come from this. And, you know, we're just happy that kids are taking part and giving back to the community and eventually becoming entrepreneurs through the program.
So, Rodney, I have 8 children, sir. 4 boys, 4 girls.
Yes, sir.
And I've got 4 of them that are already married, 5 of them that are out of the house, so I've got 3 left at home. One of them just graduated from high school, so my kids are, for the most part, grown up. But the reason I'm telling you this story is I have 4 boys, and when my first boy turned 11, I said to him, I said, hey, man, I'll make you a deal. I'll buy you the lawn mowing equipment and everything. This was years and years ago. I'll make you a deal. I'll buy all the equipment. I'll give you an interest-free loan. You can mow lawns. My lawn will be your first lawn, son. His name was Adam. I said, Adam, my lawn will be your first lawn. You can mow lawns, and then I'll pay you to mow mine, and that way you can pay off the equipment by mowing my lawn. Then all we got to do is create a flyer and work on getting – and so he ignored me when he was 11. When he was 13, he came back to me, and he said, Dad, is that deal still good? And I said, of course. So we literally did it. We bought a lawnmower. He literally mowed lawns for several years. Then he sold the business to his brother. And part of the payment was working with his older brother to learn how, and part of the payment was cash. And then his second brother did it. Then the third brother did it. Now the fourth son is doing it. And every one of them has made more than $5,000. And they've used the money to go on a mission for our church to spread the gospel of Christ with the money, and then to use it for choir tours and things like that they were in for school and everything. So it's been a blessing for children to be able to earn more money than imaginable, but combining that with service, you're building real contributors to society, sir.
Yes, I really appreciate that. That's a beautiful story, man. I like that. I really do.
All right, how do we help the program grow? You need donations to the 50-yard challenge, first of all, right?
Yeah, so on our website, we have Amazon wish list where people can buy lawnmowers, weeders, and blowers to send to us, and every time a kid completes the 50-yard challenge, we take those items to them.
Wow. Do you just drive all around the country?
Yeah, so I drive around the country. I've done 10 50-state mowing tours. So I've been to all 50 states 10 times so far. And I drive to 48 and I fly to Alaska and Hawaii. And I mow for different causes. I customize lawnmowers for whatever cause. For example, my most recent 50-state tour was for childhood cancer. And I spray-painted the lawnmower black. And then it had, like, gold ribbons on it. You know, for childhood cancer, that's the sign or the ribbon color. And then I went to all 50 states, and I moved for families who has a kid that had childhood cancer, or a family that lost a kid to childhood cancer. They signed a lawnmower. I mowed the lawn with them, and I auctioned that lawnmower for $5,000. So I've done that for different causes. Another one was a breast cancer. Done something similar. Had a lawnmower painted pink. I've done it a few other for police officers. I done one for, you know, that one was called Mowing with Cops, where I invited police officers in all 50 states to come out and mow with me when I was in their city. And they'll come out and mow, and it was just a way of building relationships between officers and the community. So I've been mowing for different causes as well. So I got the organization, then I got my 50 state tours, and yeah, so that's what I do.
And all of it's based on donation?
Yeah, everything's donated. Recently, because my old car had a lot of miles in it, so Ford Motor Company in Michigan. They gave me a brand new 2020 Ford Edge, so they surprised me with that. And other people just donate, which a lot pays for gas, pays for the T-shirts for the kids, and just make it work from donations. We don't take any grants or anything at the moment. I don't have a grant right or anything, but hopefully we can do something like that in the future. But everything's just from private donations from people that support organizations.
Yeah, but people are seeing an incredible program. Mm-hmm. People like you anxiously engaged in a good cause. And people mm-hmm. are just saying, man, I'm in this troubled world that we live in, I'm dying to be part of it, huh?
Yeah. A lot of people want to be a part of it and stuff like that. But our main focus right now is just the kids and the 50-yard challenge and just trying to get kids involved. And eventually, you know, we try to start chapters of the organization. But right now, the kids, I think it's very important to get kids involved.
All right. How do they combine the free lawns? Now, if you do other yard work like leaf raking and snow shoveling and that kind of stuff, does that count towards the shirts or no?
Yeah. So, that's as long as it's 50 free lawns, either mowing, raking leaves, snow shoveling, picking up trash, that counts towards the 50-yard zone.
Okay, so a lawn really is a yard service project of some kind, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, I bring that up because some of the 7-year-olds may not be able to mow as much lawns, but they certainly can rake leaves easier, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, we also encourage the parents to help out the kids, you know, especially the younger kids. And what we're finding is, you know, a lot of parents are spending that quality bonding time with their kids and getting to really, you know, spend that quality time, which is important. And a lot of parents and even grandparents that are doing the challenge with the kids, grandfathers, grandmothers, they're taking the kids out and they're saying they're having a great time, spending their time teaching them and just giving back. And that's what America is about, just giving back to those in need, helping out and teaching kids to give before you receive. And a lot of kids, they tell us that it's worth it putting that work in and helping out the community and earning that brand new lawnmower at the end.
Is it better to buy the lawnmowers on Amazon and send them, or is it better to give you cash, or is it better to buy them somehow locally? What's the best? How does the program best work?
Probably Amazon, you know, because they're sent directly to my house, then we store them, and then we have a big tent, big container we store them in, and then once a kid sees it, we just put it in the car, and we go.
All right, excellent.
Yes, sir.
What do community leaders think about this? Because this is something in my mind that community leaders can do a lot to help promote.
Yeah, I mean, community leaders all over it. They like the idea, and some even go branch off and start their own something similar. And we encourage that, you know, because it's needed everywhere. It's kids everywhere that need something to do, especially during the summertime. So we encourage kids just to give back. And it doesn't have to be lawnmowing. It could be something else. It could be fixing cars. It can be, you know, trimming hedges. It can be whatever you see fit in your community that there's a need. It could be painting, you know?
Yes.
So whatever your community needs, you know, find a way to get kids involved and give back.
Rodney, do you have a family? Do you have a wife or kids?
I'll be divorced if I had one because I'm on the road so much.
All right. So you're single, but you're on the road. Do you, you don't have any children?
No, sir.
I see. So you're kind of thinking the whole country are your kids, right?
Yeah. Almost, yeah.
All right. What do you want America to know about this? If you could say one thing about it, what would it be?
Just that, you know, it's important just to get kids involved, just to teach kids, right. You know, I mean, we have kids all over America. I mean, every part of America, every state, you have kids.
All right, we're flat out of time, Rodney. Keep up your good work, sir. Godspeed. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. We need more people like that in the country. I'll tell you that right now. Rodney Smith Jr., founder, Raising Men Lawn Care Service. We're raisingmen.com, the website. Check it out. 50-yard challenge. Donate today. I don't get a penny. I just think it's cool.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live radio talk show celebrating our 25th year anniversary, baby. Telling the tale of liberty everywhere we go, 24-6. On the Sabbath, we rest. Rodney Smith Jr. was our guest. Great job, man. We need people like Rodney anxiously engaged in a good cause across the country. We need to make popular that which is good and unpopular that which is not good. While we're doing that, the government's involved in UFOs, ladies and gentlemen. They told us there was no UFOs forever, that we were into conspiracy theory and everything we said about UFOs, da-da-da-da-da, we're crazy, we're in the head, we're whacked out, we're do-do-do-do, kind of garbage, and wow, now the government blatantly admits we were right and they were wrong. UFO report finally released by the Pentagon. You heard me. UFO report finally released by the Pentagon. Isn't that quite fascinating? U.S. intelligence cannot explain more than 140-plus UFO sightings. Report does not categorically rule out aliens. Okay. You look at this thing and you go, are you kidding me right now? The government literally mocked us for years saying we were conspiracy wackos for saying, man, there's some unidentified flying objects out there. There's something more going on. Now they say, whoa, hey, here's a report on it. We knew it all along. We see UFOs also. There's 140-plus sightings we can't explain. We're not ruling out aliens. And now the government says it can be a national security concern. You think? I look at this and I go, are you kidding me right now? Your government lied to you for years, telling you there was no such things as UFOs. Anybody who believed in them were gnarly, whacked in the head. Anybody who says they've been abducted by aliens, or anybody, oh, just crazy as a loon. And now the government says, yeah, they're real. We don't know what they are either. Yeah, the Pentagon says U.S. intelligence cannot explain more than 140 sightings. Wow, they say report does not even rule out aliens. Now they're saying there's even maybe aliens. We don't know. We don't really know. We can't explain any of this stuff. Well, I don't know all the answers to these UFO sightings either. But to acknowledge they exist and then for the government to lie for decades and tell us they don't exist and then to admit so blatantly that they do and they don't know how to explain them either. The Pentagon, U.S. intelligence, you're talking about the highest, quote, educated people in the land. Now, here's the next question. If they lied about the existence of UFOs and made us all seem crazy for thinking there's something to them and then admitting that we were right and they were wrong and they lied and covered it up and didn't admit it. Now, the question is, they say, we don't know what these UFOs are or not. They might be a national security concern and they might be. Do you think they're lying again? Yeah, they lied in the first place, telling you they didn't exist and that you were crazy for thinking they did. And now they admit they're real, but we don't know what they are. We can't explain when they might be a national security. Do you believe them now? Or do you believe they might be still admitting to something they're being forced to admit to, finally admitting we're correct, but lying again about the origins? Right? Because they say there's proof in the report that they're not deep state operations or you know, dark side government operations for sure. Uh-huh. See, I don't believe, this is just a personal opinion to which I'm entitled, I'll express it now. I do not believe that God will allow anybody to visit this world that does not belong to this world. So I don't believe in aliens from other worlds coming to our planet. I just personally don't. However, I do believe there might be societies on the earth that we don't know about that have advanced technology. And I do believe that we may have advanced technology in America that we don't want other nations and or our American citizens to know we have. And in those two realities, you might find what are called unidentified flying objects, unexplained phenomena in the skies, if you will. Right? And so I don't believe anybody can visit this world that doesn't belong to it in some way or another, past, present, or future, meaning. I'm not saying that God can't create some kind of a time travel, meaning he can take human beings and put them on a planet, resurrected or not resurrected beings, as he chooses. But I don't believe anybody can visit this world that does not belong to it. That's the order of God in my humble religious views. And as a result, then, if nobody can visit this world that doesn't belong to it, then they must be either immortal or mortal beings visiting this world. They might be a society in the world we don't know about. And I know somebody's going to say, Sam, come on, we know about every society of the world. How do you know that? You don't know that you know that at all. You just think you know that. Don't go along with what you think and try to make it a fact. It's fiction. You think you know that, but you don't. There might be a society in this world that we don't know about. They might be intentionally not letting us know who and where they are. I don't know if that's a fact. I just know it's a possibility, right? And I also know it's a possibility that our government and or other governments around the world could have technology that they don't want anybody to know that they have for reasons obvious. And I agree it could become a national security to some degree. But I'm a whole lot more worried about my government and their perpetuation of violating the law, taking power into themselves. I'm more worried about our government and governments around the world that are known entities than I am about some supernatural, super alien threat to my security. And yes, if another government has this kind of technology and we don't know, then it could be a national security problem for sure. That's why Donald Trump had talked about the space program. And that's why Rand Paul and Ron Paul and others have highlighted, you know what, the only value we have in government space programs is national security, and that's what we ought to take seriously. I agree with that. But the Biden administration officials mocked Trump about this. The media mocked Trump about this for so long. Why? I don't know. That's just what they do. But nevertheless, we find out that it's more real than they admitted. Now they claim they don't know much about it there. They can't explain it. But they know it isn't government. Just know that. See, how do they know things with definity? Without knowing the rest. How do you know that it's not a government? How do you know it's not a deep state government operation? Maybe if you, the research arm in the Pentagon who researched it, aren't aware. Remember, in the military, they have a very compartmentalized system where if you're not in on the project, you don't know about the project. So how do we know that the investigators who investigated this thing just aren't in on the project, and so they don't know, but they're going to definitively run around and say it's not a government thing, we know that. Well, how do you know that? You don't know that. You're lying to me now. Stop. Okay, I just use logic here on the radio, folks. If the government programs are siloed, and if it's a deep state, you know, program, a black op money program, or whatever you want to say, a dark side of government program, or even a secret government program for national security reasons, how would these researchers that are studying UFOs know? And how would they know when they don't know? See, you can say, well, I know what I know. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you don't know what you don't know, and it doesn't mean you know what you don't know, and it doesn't mean you don't know what you know, right? I don't mean to play games with words, but I'm getting across an important fact. UFO report finally released from the Pentagon. U.S. intelligence cannot explain more than 140 UFO sightings. The report does not categorically rule out aliens, but what are they ruling out? They say, well, it's not government. We're not doing it. We know it. Well, you don't know if other governments are doing it, and you don't know if our own government's doing it. And don't pretend you do, because you're lying. All right. Anyway, enough of that. But it's fascinating to me how we want to definitively state things that, well, we don't really know what's going on. We're not really sure, but we can definitively tell you this and that. How can you be so definitive if you don't know? All right. Nike, or Nike, as some prefer, the brand of shoes and apparel, right? Nike is a brand that is of China and for China, Nike chief executive reassures China. Now, why would you say Nike is a brand that is of China and for China? And they're reassuring the Chinese because that's where the cash cow's coming from. That's why. That's where the manufacturing comes from. That's why. And you better not bite the hand that feeds you. I get it. Nike understands this. However, what kind of a statement is that for an American company? Well, are they an American company? Very interesting indeed. Why would we be so tied to the communists? Why would we be so tied to overseas manufacturing? Why would we be so eager to say that we're of China, for China? Let's reassure the Chinese. What about other nations? What about America? What about Americans? Anyway, I just find it super, super strange. The things that we hear, or whatever you want to call it, I don't even know how to describe it. But I don't know why we'd be so on that, so dedicated to China. I mean, some would say, well, we don't have a choice, Sam. I know. I don't know why we got into this mess to that degree in the first place, but we should certainly do our best to unwind it, right? Mike Pence booed and called a traitor at conference. Former Vice President Mike Pence was met with boos and shouts of traitor as he spoke at a conservative conference about Republicans reclaiming the majority in the United States. He said, I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. Then the crowd cheered him on. I guess supposedly at a, they call it the Faith and Freedom Coalition Conference. It was in Orlando. But during Pence's speech, we heard all kinds of people saying traitor. Now, they say that people who tried to interrupt his speech were either removed or left the event. And here's my problem. I don't think booing Pence is fair. You could say, well, we disagree with him, Sam. I get it. I understand. But let's have some class, shall we? You don't need to just boo people on the stage. If you don't like it, peacefully get up and walk out. That's fine. But don't just boo him and publicly, without class, show your displeasure. Let me give you an example. I went to a Robert Kiyosaki, you know, rich dad, poor dad dude, event where he spoke. And I really was high on the guy. I thought he was incredible. I've read his book. I thought it was really awesome. And I went to his speech and I interviewed him. And in the interview, he was a complete jerk. And in his speech, he was dropping F-bombs left and right and primarily promoting a godless message. And I didn't boo or show, you know, become classless over it or whatever. I just simply got up and walked out of his speech. Because you know what? I don't have to be, I don't have to jettison civility. I don't have to be unkind or abusive to someone. It's almost, you know, lowering myself to that level or his level. And so what I did was just simply walk out of the speech and said, I don't need my ears and my mind and my heart assaulted by his language and by his lack of hope and faith in all things good. So Mike Pence was booed as traitor at conference. Well, our prayers are with Mike Pence. I believe he is a Christian. I believe he's a good person. I don't agree with everything he does politically speaking, but we can have civility. Let's show some class, ladies and gentlemen, shall we? Please, please. A clarion call for civility is key as we try to restore the republic. Let's turn to Almighty God and let's lead by example and kindness and love and patience with one another. Love and patience are two grand keys. Work on them, would you please? I am. All right, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale. Stand for the sacred cause of freedom and spread the word about live and on-demand free radio. Would you please? I declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.